Last week I talked to you about your faith and your action and God's power. I'm going to continue that this morning. Your faith, your action, but God's power. How many of you know you put those together and that's like a win-win deal? I mean, you just can't lose there. And so in Hebrews 11:6, just one brief recollection of last week. Hebrews 11:6 says this, but without faith, it is impossible to please God, to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is what? He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. What are you diligently seeking the Lord about? For He rewards that. But you got to have faith, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. Excuse me just a minute. You hear me now? There we go. So without faith, it's impossible to please God. So if you're saying, well, this faith thing I don't really get, you know, it's going to be really hard for you to please God. It says, without you exercising your faith, faith is not just something you put in a corner. Faith is something that you exercise, you believe. And so you have to exercise it. Without me exercising my faith that God can do something, it's impossible for me to please Him. And so it takes my faith, your action in God's power. So if you'll turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 37, and I want to show you about someone's faith, someone's action, but God's power. Someone's faith, someone's action, but God's power. In Ezekiel chapter 37, the first part of that, I'll read a few verses and I'll probably, I don't know how I'll do it, you just bear with me, okay? And I'm reading this morning from the New Living Translation. It's got a little different wording that I do like. And so I want to read that from you from there. So do y'all have the NLT up or is it? Okay, so you'll hear the same thing. So Ezekiel's in this vision and it starts out in verse 37. He says, and the Lord took hold of me and I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley filled with bones. And He led me all around among the bones that covered the valley floor. They were scattered everywhere across the ground and were completely dried out. Now, the New King James Version or King James says, they were very dry. These bones were dry. Now, most of the time you think about a valley, you think of a river in the bottom of a valley, you think of green, lush grass and trees and fruit. You think of where there's life. Because in that valley is where the fertile soil gets washed to from the mountaintops. And so there's life. There's good stuff happens in the valley. But I'm reading here where Ezekiel says, but I'm in this valley and there's dead bones. There's just full of bones. And not only are they just bones, but they're very dry. In other words, they've been here for a while. You ever found yourself in a place where you thought ought to be good, but you found out that it was a valley of bones and they were really dry and your spirit's been really dry and you're going through this trial and man, you've been here long, you're thinking, how long is this going to last? You've been in a place where you need to exercise your faith, put some action with it and let God do something. But so many times we get hung up in our problems. We're the victim. We're oh me. It's always about me, me, me. How can you fix me? I got a little wisdom key here for you. I can't fix you. You can't fix you, so why do you think I can fix you? But now I happen to know somebody who can fix you. If you exercise some of your faith, put some action behind it, and let God do some work in your life, you can get from a place of dry bones to where there is life. Come on, somebody. So most of the time, these valleys, they always represent life. Good things. But here, it's just the opposite. We as Christians, we're to present life. We're to be joyous and happy and excited about what God's done in our lives. But so many times we as Christians portray just the opposite, that we're, woe is me.
If it weren't for no bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Y'all remember that from Hee-Haw? Some of you are old enough to remember Hee-Haw. First pornographic television show ever. Come on, somebody. You ain't never seen stuff like that on regular family TV. It was. I liked Hee-Haw. Amen. But look, I want to tell you something. God wants to do something in your life. And so many times I believe we as Christians are just sitting waiting for God to do something. And God says, I need you to exercise some of your faith. Then I need you to put something into action. And then I'll release my power. Because see, there's a combination of things that can be done for God to move in your life. And it's not for you to just to sit and do nothing. It's for you not for you to just sit and say, well, God's God and it's going to happen if God wants it. Wait a minute now. That's not always true. I remember when God made up his mind. He finna kill all the people of Israel. He done got mad. And Moses prayed and stood in between them, and God relented, changed his mind. Come on, somebody. I've been in places before where I prayed and said, God, we got a problem here. God says, where's your faith? Where's your faith, son? I said, well, Lord, I left that a long time ago. Been working on my own account. He said, there's a problem. You need to go back, pick up some faith and put some action with it and watch me do great things. You read it time and time in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament where the children of Israel go out for war. And they would just by faith and then put action with it and then watch God do something. We read about it last week where they were crossing over the Jordan. Where that when they left one side of this thing where it seemed impossible, the giants were in the land, but the land was full of milk and honey. The land was full of good things that God had promised them. But God wasn't giving them anything until they had some faith and some action. And then when that happened, guess what? God's power was released, and you know the rest of the story. They conquered the land. So in verse 3, it says, then he asked me, now this is Ezekiel talking about the Spirit of the Lord. He said, then he asked me, son of man, can these bones become living people again? And I love Ezekiel's response. He said, it's almost like if you read it really fast, it's almost like it's a cop-out to answering the question. But in reality, it's the perfect answer. He says, O sovereign Lord, you alone know the answer to that. Now, so since we know the rest of the story, now Ezekiel didn't know the rest of the story, but we know the rest of the story, right? And when we look at this and we say, man, that's a great answer. But Ezekiel didn't know what was going to happen. You know what he was doing? By faith. And actually, Lord, you know. Because I know that Ezekiel's thinking, why is he asking me? What's fixing to happen here? This is fixed to be a circus right here. Come on, think about it. If you stand in a bunch of valley of dry bones and the Lord asks you, think they can live again? Oh, spiritual people say, oh, yes, Lord, glory, hallelujah. Down in your spirit, you're saying, no, they're dead. They ain't coming back. They're dead, God. They're just dead. But Ezekiel says, Lord, you already know. See, he's putting the problem. He's not taking on the problem. Oh, I got to have more faith. Let me get my faith bucket and pour more faith out. No, God, you already know. See, he's the answer. It's God's power. You can't do anything but exercise faith and put some action with it. But it's God's power who raises things from the dead. Not you. It's not you. It's not. See, I'm not worried when people don't get saved when I present the gospel. I want you to be saved. But I can't save you. I'm not taking on a burden that's not designed for me. When I pray for people, I believe they're going to be healed. I believe that. Pastor, did you really believe it? Yeah, I believed it then and I believe it now. I believed that when I prayed for someone, for them to be healed. Well, how can you do that? I mean, and they didn't get healed. Well, wait a minute. Well, you got the roles mixed up. See, my role, the Bible tells me in Colossians, it's my role to pray, and when I pray, believe. He never tells me that I'm going to have the power to heal anybody. He alone has that. It's my job to, by faith, my action is my prayer, and it's God's job to do it. You alone know, God, what you're going to do already. Come on now, this is good. Verse 4 says, then he said to me, speak a prophetic message to these bones and say, dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. There's your action. God gives you a task. He gave Ezekiel a task to do what? Speak a prophetic message to the dry bones. Now we're fixing to learn what the prophetic message is. So many times, I've heard it said this way, that so many times people are pushing against the mountain that's in front of you, and God never told you to do that. He said, speak to the mountain. Pray, in other words, pray. I don't mean, you know, name it, claim it, blab it, grab it. I'm really not into that. But I am into what God's word says. If God's word says you speak or you pray against the mountain, you start praying against the mountain. That may seem to be so large that you're never going to get around it. But see, you don't have to get around it. God may make a tunnel through it. God may give you the strength to go over it. But it's your faith. Lord, I believe you can. My action, I'll do what you tell me to do. And then you watch God do something. We get so hung up on, well, this is the end. We hear the reports. We get the judgments down. We get all of these things and say, oh, this looks impossible. Yeah, the Bible speaks something about that, says something on the line with some stuff is impossible with man. But all things are possible with God. You remember that little story? That's another message. Verse 5. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, now this is Ezekiel prophesying to this. He says, look, I'm going to put breath into you and make you live again. Now look, Ezekiel's in his valley of dry bones. It's just bones. And he's speaking to some bones. Look at me. They don't have any eyes. Come on, think about it. How ridiculous would that look, Matt? Look, I'm going to put breath in you. You're talking about dry church service. Boy, that would have been one right there. I'm telling you, you're talking about dead. You've been a dead church service. Me too. Boy, that one was dead. That one's really dead. He says, look, I'm going to put breath into you and make you live again. He's speaking to a dead, dry valley of bones that don't even comprehend. This is how far-fetched this thing is. That can't even comprehend that he's even speaking to them. He says, I'm going to put breath in you, and I'm going to make you live again. How many of you ever went through life and you had a dream or a vision about something that maybe God wanted you to do, or maybe something just in you that you wanted to do? That you go, man, that would be awesome if I could do it. And you started on that journey and that died. That dream died because of life and circumstances and things that bombarded you. And that just kind of went away. And now if you look at it now, you say, well, that's just a dead, dry vision. That's a dead dream. Well, maybe it's time for you to revive some of that dead vision. You might not be able to do it on your own. It's going to take your faith, your action, and God's power. Amen. Now watch this. In verse 6, he goes on to even be just, I mean, to say that we're going to make you live again, we're going to put breath in you, and you're going to live again. Then it gets detailed. I mean, that's even, whew. Here's what he says in verse 6. Now I'm going to put flesh and muscles on you and cover you with skin. And I will put breath into you. You will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord God. Anybody got that kind of faith? That'd be like you going down here to the graveyard, standing up on the edge out there on the fence and saying, hey, all you bones, listen up. This is what's finna happen. Y'all finna live. Breath's gonna come back to you. You're gonna have muscles put on your connecting your bones, your ligaments, all that's gonna come together. And you're gonna live. the first policeman that comes by, Dane's going to drive by, see you, hear you, and say, call that place that's got the people that ain't really right. Because this guy's nuts. The world will think you nuts when you ask God to do some of the impossibilities in your life. The world thinks you're nuts when you start calling on God and saying, God, this is an impossibility, because the world gives you a diagnosis that you're not going to be healed. The world gives you a diagnosis that you'll never be over that, that that hurt will always be there, that that pain will always be there, that your finances will always be in the tank. You know, it's been in your generation or line forever, and you're always going to be there. And God says, if you'll put your faith and your action, watch me. I got the power to change it.
Hallelujah.
Come on, somebody. And so it's time, I'll say it this way. If you want your dream and your vision and God to do something in your life bad enough, who cares what the naysayers say? They don't like you now because they think you're nuts. And when you get your blessing, they're going to be jealous of you and they ain't going to like you then. So why bother? Just go and receive what God's got. Amen. Verse 7. Ezekiel's saying this. He says, so I spoke this message just as he told me. What, Ezekiel, can you hey, I just said what God said. Quit making up stuff. Just say what God says. Quit trying to put your two cents in so you'll look better. Just say what God says. And let God be God and you could just be you. You want to put all this extra stuff in there that God didn't say. Let God be God. You use God's word, quote the word, and be done with it. Let God be God. So he said, I spoke this message, as he told me. Suddenly, no extra adjectives in the phrase. No extra pronouns in here. He said, I just spoke what God said, and suddenly, what happened? As I spoke, there was a rattling noise all across the valley. I'm not talking about one over here that had died and was faithful. I'm talking about, he said, all across the valley, there was a rattling. There was a noise. Something was happening. If you just let God be God, guess what? All across your life, all across your stuff, all across your problem, there'll be a rattling. There'll be things that start to happen because you just let God be God. Quit trying to figure it out. I tell people all the time, you know, when I start interfering, God is the moment that I have my first thought. When I start thinking, I'm messing up what God wants to do in my life. When I start thinking, I ain't got to do anything, just have a thought. That's right, runt. Just runt. Just mess the whole thing up. Boy, I like that right there. Amen. He said, suddenly as I spoke, there was a rattling noise all across the valley. The bones of each body came together and attached themselves as complete skeletons. Your faith and your action, God's power. You know, if these bones had been there a while, I just want to tell you that there's probably been some kind of wild animal come around and took your shin bone. There's another term for it, but I don't know what it is, Doc. There's a technical word, I guarantee it, but common folks say shin bone. Took your shin bone and drug it over here by Matthew's hip bone. Come on. And somebody done got a shoulder bone mixed up over here, a man's shoulder bone with a woman's shoulder bone over yonder somewhere else because of a bear. And it says that these bones came together, each one of them, where they're supposed to be, to whom they're supposed to be with. God didn't make no mistake. He wasn't going to mix it up. If he created the first time, he can recreate it the second time, do it right both times. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. It's like somebody said, how come Jesus didn't have to be born again? Because he was born right the first time. I think if a church get born again right the first time, we wouldn't have to come back again and again and again. I got so excited about these ladies out here. This Friday night, I was just so excited. I leaned over and told one of the ladies, I said, I love this. And she said, you do? I said, I like it. She said, what do you like most about it? I said, they ain't got over getting saved yet. They're still excited that God has done something. They hadn't forgot what God did for them and brought them out of a pit, out of a dumpster somewhere. Come on, somebody. That God is real to them. That God pulled them from this place that was surely doom and gloom and to set their feet on rock to stay. Now they're worshiping Jesus. Come on. Get 3 square meals a day. We need to get back to the place where we hadn't gotten over getting saved. Verse 8, and then as I watched, these muscles and flesh formed over the bones, then skin to cover their bones or their bodies. But they still had no breath in them. I want to tell you, on your journey from here, getting out of a pit to where God wants you to be, there's going to be exciting times, but there's still going to be times that you still got to exercise your faith. You got to put some action with it, and you got to still watch God move. You got to still watch God's power be released in your life. See, in this situation, he had seen some great. I mean, hey, we would have stopped. Us Pentecostal folks would have stopped at the miracle where the bone started rattling. Oh, that's God. Hey, hey, hey. Let's go to the house. We done seen God. We done heard him for sure. We good. Problem is, we get so wrapped up in now, we miss the good stuff. They ain't to life. Yeah, we just heard a little bit. Ooh, glory to God. That's enough for me. Well, it ain't enough for you. Especially if you're the dead one. You want to live again. If you're in the pit, it ain't enough. If you're coming out of the pit, hey, seeing the light out of the end of the tunnel is good, but it ain't enough. You want to be out of the tunnel. It might be an oncoming train. So you want to keep going, right? So here's what he said. He said, in this verse 8, see that there was the skeletons come together and the bones come together, and there was muscles there, and there was skin that was put on that body. But they were still dead. What I'm saying is, don't quit too soon. Just because it looks like God's doing something, and he could very well be, and he is doing something in your life, don't give up too soon, because the best is yet to come. See, that was great, and that was a miracle, and that would have been a great story if they'd have stopped it right there. If they'd have never lived, that would be a miracle in itself. Come on. But the story didn't stop there. You know why? Because God is bigger than anything you face. God created the body in the beginning. If he created you from nothing, he can surely take something of yours that's already there and put it back together. Come on, somebody, you ain't getting it. I said, if God can take and create everything from nothing, he can surely take something that's in your life that already exists and turn it around for his good. You know why? Because the Bible says he would. The Bible says that he can. He'll turn those things that the enemy meant for evil, he'll turn it around for good. So surely God can do what you'll allow him to do. Your faith, your action releases God's power. Verse 9. Then he said to me, if this wasn't enough, we'd have checked out right here. Look, we'd have got the first word and we'd called ourselves a prophet. Look, I'm a prophet of the Lord. Glory to God. Then he said to me, speak a prophetic message to the winds. Uh-oh. Lord, you know that they think I'm nuts anyway. I'm speaking to some bones, dry bones. Now you want me to speak to the winds, and we know that you're the only one who command the winds. Oh, come on. Yeah, well, it takes your faith and your action, but God's power. Because he does control the wind and the seas and the waves and everything else. He says, I want you to speak to the wind, O Ezekiel, son of man. Speak a prophetic message and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, O breath from the four winds, breathe into these dead bodies so that they may live again. Y'all just not as excited as I thought you'd be right there. Have you ever been in a place long enough that you were just pathetically fed up? I mean, just it's a pathetic place to be. You didn't want to be there. You didn't really want to get out of bed in the morning. Didn't want to go to bed at night because of the fear and the stuff that's going to keep you up all night. And you just didn't want to go through the day because you're afraid somebody's going to ask you that question that you're going to have to answer, or at least have a reality check about it. And you didn't want to be faced with any of that. Come on. If you'll just let God be God, and you'll begin to do those things that most people may think you're weird. I'm not telling you to be a weirdo. I'm just telling you how many people, if this wasn't the Bible and I read this story from a book, would you think Ezekiel's a weirdo? Well, sure you would. You'd think, well, that's a weirdo. The pastor done went off his deep end over there. That don't happen. Now, what we're talking about is God here. We're talking about the God of the universe that when he spoke, things came into existence from nothing. The Bible says those things that you see now, they were arranged by a word spoken from Almighty God that now turned it into existence. That's the God I'm talking about. There is no impossibility with God. There's only possibilities. So what is your situation? Are you still living? Then there's hope. Do you still have muscles attached to everything? Do you still have breath? Well, guess what? You're starting way ahead of these people. You got a head start. I mean, it's like a 50-yard dash, and you're at 75-yard marker. Come on, you should win. I don't think you should win as a Christian. You should win this thing. God's already done the work. It's called Calvary. You're going to win if you exercise your faith. Put action with it and just let God be God. The only reason we can't let God be God, and hear me out when I tell you I love you. The only reason we can't let God be God is because we're embarrassed of what we may have to do. That's it. Well, what if it doesn't happen? Well, what if it does? Oh, you're going to be a hero. But if it doesn't, you're going to be an idiot. See, that's doubt. The Bible doesn't say that you got to have a certain amount of doubt to have faith. Doubt, when you get born, doubt's already there, knocking on the door, say, "How are you going to let me in?" But now faith is a different thing altogether. Faith has to be built. You can tell a child, any of the children out here in our multi-purpose building this morning, you can tell them the telephone pole, the inside of it's made out of pure bubble gum. They're going to believe it till they go by one day. Storms come through. They see a telephone pole blown over and thought, "I think I'll stop and get some bubble gum." They're 27 years old. They get out of the car and go, and there's no bubble gum. For 27 years, they believed there was bubble gum in the middle of a telephone pole. Sounds crazy, don't it? That's so stupid. Well, you believe in Santa Claus, don't you? All of you believed in Santa Claus at one time in your life. Oh, Santa Claus is coming. Santa Claus ain't coming. I can say that. There's no kids in here. Santa Claus doesn't exist. It's your mom and daddy going to work, saving money to buy you gifts. There's your Santa Claus. It's Jesus already going to work, done the work, so you can have exercise your faith to get in on the blessing that he's already got for you. Just like mom and daddy going to work, they're giving you a blessing at Christmas. God's already done the work. Exercise your faith. Release some action. Get up and do something. And then watch God do something. Praise the Lord. Verse 10. Did I finish verse 9? Let me finish it. Breathe into these dead bodies so they may live again. Did I tell you that Ezekiel's talking to the wind? Now, Ralph, if I see you leave the church and Pam leaves you here and you have to walk down the road and I hear you talking to the wind, I'm going to say, "I knew it. I knew it. Something ain't right." Because we'd think that's crazy. Because what power does he have over the wind? None. Everybody say none. What power do you have over your situation sometimes?
None.
Oh, but by faith and my action and God's power coupled together, oh, that changes the whole scenario of stuff. See, when I start speaking by faith to the wind as Ezekiel did, then the wind starts saying, oh, and God somewhere back in the background saying, now when you listen to Ezekiel, he's my man. He's telling you what to do. Now you go do it. I'm just giving the command behind the scenes. And now you go and get into those bodies. And so in Ezekiel, by faith, and this is weird, but I'm going to do it, by faith and in his action began to speak the words, breath came into some life and some bones began to come together and life began. And all of a sudden, these bodies were living. Sound crazy, don't it? This is crazy, crazy. You got to have faith to believe this Bible. But I believe it. I believe it from the front cover to the back cover, even the maps in between. Verse 11. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones represent the people of Israel. You know, right there, you know, we're grafted into Israel. You can say right here and be biblically correct, that applies to you today. Come on, this was a metaphor, if you will. These people, they've been scattered. And now he's bringing them back to life. They've been dead outside of where God had them, had a plan, a great plan for them. See, it's not okay, but it's normal sometimes for you to know where God wants you to be, but then you get hung up over it, and now you're over here in left field somewhere, way away from what God wants you to do. And God says, hey, psst, if you get back on track with me, I hadn't pulled the plan. I hadn't pulled the promise. I hadn't pulled the blessing. Come on, this is before the blessing came to Israel. Come on now. Whew. Before they came back together. Then he said to me, son of man, see these bones represent the people of Israel? They are saying we have become old. Who's saying this? The bones. The people. Says, they are saying we have become old, dry bones. All hope is gone. Our nation is finished. I find myself sometimes in situations saying the same thing. All hope is gone. I'm finished. This is done. There's no way out. This is the end. It's over. But when you put God in the middle of the equation, I want to show you something, though. If you backed up to the verse, the very first verse of this chapter, it says it this way. And the Lord took hold of me. That's key. In order for you to see some things that God really wants you to see and to go through some things, come out the other side, you got to let the Lord take hold of you. You're trying to do it on your own. You got to say, Lord, I surrender all to you. And so when you do that, the Lord will take hold of you. My daddy used to take hold to me. Come on. You need the Lord to take hold of you, but you got to surrender and say, Lord, as Mary did, not my will, but yours. Be it according unto you what you want to do in my life. If we get there, that's important. That's the key. Ezekiel looked like a weirdo. But when he said, the Lord took a hold of me. Oh, now all the stuff goes to blame. Everything goes to God. The pressure's off. It's God. If you let God take a hold of you, that's important. Some of you need to let God take a hold of you. Some of you think you got God. That's the problem. You got him, but he ain't got you. Let God get a hold of you. It's one thing for me to go bear hug a bear. It's another thing altogether to have a bear hug you. Because see, if I'm hugging him and he ain't hugging me, I can get away from him. But if he's hugging me, I can't get away from him. And that's the way you need to let God do to you. You need to let God bear hug you some so you can't get away from him. You need to get rid of some of your stuff and get rid of some of your habits. Come on, somebody. So that the Lord can get a hold of you and pull you up close and tight so that you won't run, so that you can't get away from him. He said, oh, hold on right here. I ain't going to let you go. in the middle of all your stuff, in the middle of your problems and your pain, in the middle of that thing that's come down that you didn't want to get that news, but you got it. Let God hold you. Let God grab you. And in the middle of all that, guess what? You'll still be right in the middle of what God wants to do in your life, even though it may not seem like it. If God's got a hold of you, he's got you. You don't have him. My word tells me he'll never leave me and he'll never forsake me. Amen. That's good stuff. I just imagine, I see sometimes my grandkids, they get in the floor and wrestle, the two oldest ones, Lexi and Levi. Now, this is going to change in about, I don't know, about 6 months, but right now this is the way it is. She'll get him and bear hug him and get him on the ground, and he wiggles, and he's mad, and he starts crying and kicking and stuff. She got a hold of him. But I remind her every time she does that, he's growing. He's growing. He's not always going to be littler than you. You know what our response is? Just like many Christians. Yeah, but he ain't that big yet, Papa. That's what we do about our problems. Yeah, but he ain't done nothing yet. God ain't really showed up yet in my situation. I'm still having to go through this. Well, guess what? When you get through this, then there's going to be another one. So learn to let God hold you now so that when you get in the next one, you got some peace as you're going through it. Brother David says it this way. He says, Lord, let me get it quick while I'm here so we can get on through this one. Don't let me be dumb in this, Lord, and try to figure this thing out. Let me get it early and let's move on through this because something else is coming. If you don't think it is, because we don't preach the gospel around here, if you get in Christ, everything's hokey-dory. I will preach this to you. If you get in Christ, he'll give you the joy and the peace to walk through whatever comes through. But it ain't going to be a bed of roses, everything you go through. That's the life from hell. Amen. I got to hurry. I'm going to finish. I didn't think I was going to preach this long. I never do. Verse 12 says, therefore prophesy to them and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I want to stop right there and tell you this. If you'll get in God's word, so many times we're not saying what God says because we don't know what God says because we're not reading God's word to know to tell the enemy what God's word said. If you'll get in God's word and get it in your heart and get it in your mind, get it in your spirit, when that thing comes, you start speaking the word to it. You won't be speaking an opinion piece to it. This is not some editorial in the back page of the newspaper. This is God's word. And what God's word says is what God's word means. So it's time to get in God's word. He says, this is what the word of, in verse 12, therefore prophesy to them and say, I love that. Prophesy to them, but tell them what I'm telling you to say. Nothing else, nothing more. Don't add to it. Don't take away. Tell them what I said. And this is what he says. This is what the sovereign Lord says, O my people. I will open up your graves of exile and cause you to rise again. Come on. Then I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Verse 13. And when this happens, O my people, you will know that I am the Lord. Come on, I don't know if you're getting it. See, he says that if you'll probably, this is what I say, that I'm going to open up your graves, that thing that's kept you bound, that habit, that addiction, that thing that's always there. When you go to bed, it's there. When you wake up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom, it's there. When you get up in the morning, it's there. That thing that plagues you is always there. He said, I'll open up your grave. I'll take that thing from you is what he's saying. And you'll walk and you'll live, says the Lord. He says, you'll live again. You return to your own land. It's time that the church start living again. That the church says, I am life because he gave me life. It's not being boastful to say, I'm here to bring life to a sinner. That's not being boastful. I'm here to bring life because that's my job. I'm here. John 10:10 says that I've come to give you life and that you'd have it more abundant. In other words, you're to spread the goodness of God around those around you. So say, hey, I've, what did Jesus say? Well, I am that life. Well, I'm the living water. Well, you need something to eat. I'm bread. I'm the bread of life. I'm here. Well, if you're a representative of Christ, don't you think that he's giving you all the tools necessary to go do what he gave us an example to do? Well, absolutely. God's on. Oh, I don't want to be get out of my realm here. If you'll pray, you don't have to worry about being humble. If you'll seek the word, if you'll read God's word, you don't have to worry about being humble. You will be, because you're following his word. It's just too easy. Yes, amen. Now let me tell you this. And when this happens, verse 13, O my people, you will know that I am the Lord. Now verse 14, I'll close, because it's the last one. Now I will put my spirit in you. What does it say? And you will live again and return home to your own land. Now I know that is a prophetic word where Israel's going to, the children of Israel are going to come back to Israel. We know that happened. If you're looking, is the word of God true? There it is. That's a prophetic word. It says, and you'll return to your land. We know that Israel's a land now. And then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and I have done what I said. Yes, the Lord has spoken. I'm here to tell you this, that what God says he'll do, he can do. That's the first thing you got to get settled, that he can do what he says he'll do. I've seen it too many times. You come a little bit too late to tell me that God can't do what he says he can do. Oh, I just love people to say, but does he do it every time? No, but he done it the time I asked him, and that's what I was worried about. Come on, somebody. He done it when I asked him. See, that? Don't try to complicate God. Just let God be God. If God says it in his word, you can stand on it. I don't care how ridiculous it may seem or sound. Because Ezekiel looked really retarded right there in this hope. Did he not? Come on. We would have him committed. Oh, you're a weirdo. Pastor, I think you're going to need to say something to them. Your faith, your action, God's power. Don't get them mixed up. Don't get them mixed up. It is not your power. It is not God's faith. It's not God's action. It's your action, your faith, your action, and God's power. In that order. You got to have faith to do the action to see God's power released. Come on, that's the way it works. It's not complicated. Don't complicate the gospel. Don't complicate what God says. It's just too easy. I get really frustrated when people get, when they get too learned in the Word of God. They're too theological in their argument. I'm all about theological education. Don't get me wrong. Amen. But the Bible says that you're to come to him as with childlike faith. You don't have to make me think you know a lot. What I need to know is, can you get a hold of the Lord when I need you to get a hold of the Lord? And if that comes through childlike faith, I don't care if you can't quote a verse in the Bible. But if you can get a hold of God, you can exercise some faith. See God's power at work. That's what the world's looking for. You can memorize every verse in the Bible and walk out here on the street and start quoting it. And people are going to say, they're a Jesus weirdo. And they're going to run from you. But you can walk up to them endued with power. Because the Bible says that he would do that in Acts chapter 1:8, that I'll give you power and you'll be a witness to me. You can go in power and witness to someone and lead them to Christ and they'll receive you. Woo! The church, I know this is bad English, the church ain't dead because God ain't moving. The church is dead because people ain't moving. Come on. Acts 1:8. I'll give you power. and you'll be a witness. Go read the book of Acts. Us men are going through it on Mondays. Anything from Acts chapter 2, the latter part of Acts chapter 2, and so far the rest of the book is nothing but based on those two things, having power and being witnesses. If he spent a whole book talking about it, I think we need to get engaged with it. Amen. Will you stand with me across this building?